harmony there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 15, in our last message, we set aside these 4 weeks in June to preach on the story of the prodigal son, the journey of the prodigal son. And we looked last week and we looked at the prodigal's road of ruin. Road of ruin. And in those first verses there, in verse 12, we see his selfish demand. And he says there, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And if we could put it in our modern day vernacular, he says, "You know what? One day, Dad, you're going to die and you're going to leave us an inheritance. Why don't you give it to me now?" That in itself smacks of selfishness. Amen, church? And then, of course, we saw not only his selfish demand, but his selfish desire was to leave the Father's house and get out and experience life. And if we could say this from an old term, those of you from the 60s just want to get out and find himself. Amen. Where did he find himself? He found himself in the hog pen is where he found himself. His selfish demand and his desire and selfish departure. He went off into a far country, and many a young person has forsaken the Father's house for the far country only to find it was a bad bargain. A bad bargain. We find his selfish dissipation in verse number 13. It says there, he wasted his substance with riotous living. All that the Father had given him was gone in an instant. In the far country, and then his destitution, we found that he began to be in want. And isn't it amazing there that when the cash dried up, so did the comrades, and so did the convictions too. We find out there he was feeding the swine. Can I say this? Selfishness, church, guest here today, selfishness is always a ruinous road. Selfishness has snapped many a wedding band. Amen. Matter of fact, I'll go you 99-1 on divorce rate in America. Selfishness was a root cause of divorce. Well, I just want to get out and get out from underneath these bonds of being married and just get out and be free. That's a selfish person. Amen. A selfish person. And so selfishness is always a ruinous road. And can I say this? If you're on the road to ruin, if you examine yourself and you say, "You know what, I'm a lot like this prodigal," then you know what you need to do? You need to get off the road to ruin and turn around and get on the road to recovery. Amen. There's a road to recovery in this story we're going to look at. Can I talk to you by way of introduction about some false assumptions of the prodigal? Can I say this just by way of introduction? He thought that leaving the Father's house was no big deal. Brother Epperly, I believe he just was so anchoring to get out from Dad's rules. And all the things that Dad had, he just couldn't wait to leave. And to him, it was no big deal. Can I tell you, those of you that are in and out of church, it is a big deal. You see, this is a place where you're going to be encouraged by God's people. This is a place where you're going to be challenged by God's Word. And if it's just no big deal, I can miss this service and I can miss that service. Hey, it's a big deal. God may have the message for you in the service you miss. It's a big deal. And so he had this idea that it was no big deal to just go ahead and leave the Father's house. Something else he found that was a false assumption. He believed he could go back anytime he wanted. But you know, Brother Jenkins, he was there in the far country. And he found the old preacher preached it. I preached the outline myself. Sin will always take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you're willing to pay, and keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay. One sin. Here he was. He went out and he said, "Hey, I can come back anytime I want." But where was he? He was in the hog pen feeding swine. Again, ladies and gentlemen, knowing your Bible, a horrific thing for a Jew to ever be around a pig. Ever! It was an unclean animal. And then, lastly, he had another assumption, false assumption. When the money runs out, my new friends will help out. As we said last week, you know what happens to you at a bar when you're out of money? Get out. They don't say, hang around and have a few on me. There's only one thing a bartender's after. There's only one thing a liquor store establishment is after. Your money, and that's it. They don't care if they destroy your life in the process. You know, you see these advertisements, drink responsibly. Listen to me. Budweiser does not want you to drink responsibly. They want you to drink productively. Just keep on drinking. And so here he says, hey, you know, now that the money's gone, I'm sure my new friends will help me out. Money can't buy friends. Amen. I'm sure he probably bought a few rounds, Brother Sammons, and thought, hey, when I get a little down, these people will help me out. No. That was another false assumption. The last one. He had the false assumption that he would never end up doing fill in the blank. You know how many people have left the Father's house? They've left their parents' house. They've left the church life that mom and dad and grandma and grandpa are still part of today. They've left and they've gone out and started compromising their convictions, and they're off doing something that they never thought they would have been doing. Every day it happens. There's a young Christian man today that's dealing drugs somewhere that never thought they would have, Brother Hendershot. They said, I would never do that. But you listen, you get away from Father's house, you get away from Father's blessing, you get out in that cruel, cold, wicked world, and you'd be unbelievably surprised what you're capable of. You know why? You've got an old nature. And it rears up. And without God's book, without God's spirit, without God's house and God's people, listen, you'll start feeding the flesh. You start feeding the flesh. And so he thought he would never end up in the hog pen. But there he was. Our message today is about the road to recovery. And can I say this? You don't need AA to recover. You don't need 12 steps. You don't need 14 steps or 69 steps or any amount of steps you can have. You need what the Word of God says. This road to recovery. Perhaps some today are trapped in the snare of the devil, and the Bible says you're taken captive by him at his will in 2 Timothy 2:26. Can I tell you this? Be of good cheer. There's hope in Christ. Amen. Oh, I think of my life and so tangled up in selfishness and ruin just 16 years ago as I was in the heavy metal band, and not only in the band, but into the lifestyle, into the drinking and the drugs and the booze and all the things that went along with it. And I was literally, Satan had his arms around me like a python coils around its prey. And I think, boy, there was no hope, but then came Jesus. I came to that old-fashioned church, and like the song says, then came Jesus walking on the water. My ship was sinking in the storms of life. He whispered, peace be still, and calm the sea. He did it for you, and He could do it for me. Amen. My goodness. It's amazing how my life has changed through Jesus. With Satan, listen to me, the road to ruin with Satan, it's hedonism, heartache in the hog pen, and then hell. How about that? You end up in the hog pen, and then eventually you go die and go to hell. You stay on Satan's road of ruin. But with Christ, there's hope, healing, and heaven. How about that? Amen. To get on the road to recovery, we need to travel a few side roads. You know, just like when you're on the map. Nowadays, we've all got GPSs and all that. But, man, I remember the days when we would travel in what we call the big fire engine. Amen. My dad had a 1976 AMC Matador. I'm telling you, we had an accident with that thing one time, and some little foreign car was crumpled up into a heap, and my dad's had like a little scuff on it, amen? Gigantic dinosaur of a car. But I remember Dad would have the maps out, amen? And he would look at this little side map. There's construction here. We take this little side road, and this little side road, and this little side road, and we'll get on the road we're looking for. Let me give you a few side roads that'll lead you to the road to recovery. And we can see it here in the prodigal's life. Number one is the road of reflection. The road of reflection. Look at verse number 17 with me, would you? It says there, and probably the pivotal statement in this whole text is the first part of verse 17. And when he came to himself, and he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?" You see, there he came to himself. He basically said, if we could put it in our modern day speech, "What am I doing? This is crazy. I'm about to eat with what the swines eat. My father has servants, and he takes care of them, and they feed well every day. What am I doing?" Can I say that's the first side road to the road to recovery, and that is reflection. Thinking. You know, the devil loves to amuse us. You know what amuse means? It means not think. You say, do you ever go to the amusement park? Yes, there are days when pastors don't need to think. Amen. Just walk around. But boy, by and large, you know, the devil does that to society. He's got us so busy and so distracted that we don't even have time to think anymore. I'll never forget, I was listening to the three Supreme Court justices were giving an interview, and they were asking them, what do you do every day? What do you do every day? And Sandra Day O'Connor, who was the first female justice to the Supreme Court, she said, "We read." She said, 1,500 pages a day on average a Supreme Court justice reads. And I thought, my goodness, I don't want to be a Supreme Court justice. 1,500 pages a day. And Justice Breyer said, we certainly do read a lot. And then it came to Justice Scalia. And Justice Scalia, known as just for his wit, they said to him, "Justice Scalia, what do you do all day?" He said, "Like the others," he said, "reading, writing." And he said, "I try to squeeze in a little time for thinking." You know, isn't it true? When the devil's got somebody in his grasp, you know, the last thing they do is think about what they're doing and the consequences of their actions and all those things. You see, he got on that road to reflection. He thought of his foolish plight. Here he was, he had taken all his substance, which wasn't his, it was father's, but father was generous and gave it to him. He'd taken all that, and he'd depleted it all, and here he was, sitting in the hog pen, feeding the hogs. He thought about his foolish plight. He said, "What am I doing here?" Like many a person, he said, "How on earth did I get here? I was raised in a good home. I have a loving father. How on earth did I get here?" I'll tell you one little word. S-I-N, sin. He thought about his foolish plight, but something else he thought about. He thought about the Father's provision. He got that. It's right there in verse 17. He said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare?" He said, "My father's a good provider. My father provides for people that aren't even his children." You see, he got on the road to reflection. Hey, by the way, if you're on that road to ruin of selfishness, take time and ask yourself, do I really want to be on this road? Do I really want to be on this ruinous road? I was talking to May Jean in Virginia before the service, and Virginia asked me, she said, "I got asked by somebody to ask your preacher about Noah. Did Noah get drunk?" And I said, "Yes, he did. He did. Terrible thing. God had already flooded the earth, and here comes Noah. He plants a vineyard. He gets drunk." And I said this, "I've just not found a circumstance where getting drunk is a good thing. Not one time in this book, not one time in life have I ever seen where getting drunk, getting behind the wheel is an actual good thing. You listen to me. I've not found equally that the road to ruin and selfishness where that's ever a good thing. So you know what you need to do? You need to get off the road to ruin. Get on that road of reflection and saying, is this how I want to be? Is this how I want to live? Do I want to be selfish and me? Aren't you glad the Savior wasn't that way? None of us would be on our way to heaven if the Savior was that way and said, well, listen, they deserve it. They're getting what they deserve. It's all about me. No. The road to reflection. He came to Himself. Another side road that you'll find on the road to recovery is not only the road to reflection, but the road of resolution. Resolution. What's it say there in verse 18? Beginning of the verse. I will arise and go to my Father and say unto Him, I have sinned against heaven and before Thee. I will arise. We sing the song, it's in our hymnal. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. The road to recovery, it starts on that side road of reflection, but that road of resolution. I need to do something about this. Amen? I need to do something about this. So many times we will meet people at doorsteps and they'll say, you know, one day I'm going to come to church. You know, Brother Don, I've learned one day never comes. Never does. I've never seen it come. One day I'm going to get over there. And I always say, yeah, one day we're all going to church. We're just going horizontally. Amen? We're all going to the church that day. Listen, it not only took some reflection, it took some resolution. Look at those areas of your life that are like the prodigal and resolve, I've got to do something about this before it kills me. Listen, many of us men have had a physical and had to have some resolutions. Said, you know what, I need to trim back on the old sat fats if I want to keep living. Amen? Many of us have had to look at it and say, you know what, this has got to change. I just don't think he looked at the hog, sat there in the hog pen and thought, you know, this is fine, I'll be fine. No, he said, hey, listen, based on this foolish plight and my Father's provision, something's got to change. Something's got to change. And he made that resolution. Something else I like to look at this. It was a verbal resolution that he had made. He said, listen, I've got to do something about this. I will arise and I'll go to my Father and I'll say to Him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before Thee. Resolution. Reflection. One of the most unpopular words in modern Christianity today is the third road. And that's the road of repentance. Repentance. Look at verse 18. I will arise, go to my Father, and say unto Him, Father, I have sinned. I have sinned. Can we say something about that? Is the first thing that he did, if you look down where he actually comes to his Father, it says it in verse 21. Look what he says there. And the Son said unto Him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in Thy sight. You see, this week in the political spectrum, and I'll not get political today, but we were brought to the place of a congressman who said, I did wrong. I did wrong. Well, not. I don't think it's pulpit material to talk about that. But let me tell you why he said I did wrong. Because he got caught. And when he realized there was no way out, Brother Becker, he said, okay, I did wrong. That's not repentance. That is not repentance. Real, true repentance is I did wrong, and You caught me, whether anybody else did or not. You see, if you go back to Psalm chapter number 51, if you want to go back there, Psalm chapter number 51, about in the middle of your Bible, we're introduced to a story here, or we're introduced to a psalm that has a story behind it. And the story is simply this. David was walking on the housetops. He saw a woman named Bathsheba bathing, and he commanded to have her brought to the king. He commits adultery with her. It's found out she's going to have a baby. He tries to have her husband taken, Uriah, taken off the battlefield and brought in, and tries her to become intimate with his wife, but he won't do it. And so he sends Uriah back with a death warrant in his hand. The commander opens it up and it says, when you get to the hottest part of the battle, you send Uriah up front, you let everybody else back, and you let Uriah be killed. And it all took place just like that. And word gets back to King David that Uriah the Hittite is dead. All that's taken place. A year's gone by. And we come to Psalm 51. And if you have an introduction in your psalm, it reads like this. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. You see, the old prophet Nathan came along and he told David a story about a wayfaring man, a traveling man coming. And there was a poor neighbor that had a little lamb and it was like a family pet. And David was like a rich neighbor who had many lambs. And so he said, hey, take that neighbor's lamb, that poor neighbor's lamb, and slay it and dress it, and we're going to feed the traveler with that. And Nathan says to David, hey, what do you think about that story? And David gets indignant. He gets mad. He gets red in the face. And he said, the man that hath done that shall surely die. And old Nathan points his bony preacher prophet finger and says, thou art the man. You see, just like that man took that lamb and killed it, you took another man's wife that wasn't yours and had her husband killed. And we come to this and the preacher confronts David with his sin after a year. And look what David says in Psalm 51:1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindnesses. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You see, ladies and gentlemen, true repentance first is to God. First. And so here comes the prodigal in this story back to Luke chapter 15. And he says, I've sinned against heaven. But also, he sinned against his earthly father too, didn't he? He said there, and in thy sight. Matthew chapter 5 verse 23 says, therefore, if thou bring a gift to the altar and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave thy gift to the altar and go thy way and first be reconciled to thy brother, then present it to God. Let me tell you a little bit about repentance. It's a misunderstood and a misconstrued doctrine. There are some people that'll teach you have to repent of all your sins to be saved. That's false. Amen. You don't even know half of the sins you've ever committed. Amen. You don't have to repent of all your sins to be saved. You have to repent. You have to turn from sin to God to be saved. Amen. You have to repent of unbelief to be saved. Because unbelief is the only sin that sends anybody to hell. But repentance is manifest, I believe, in three things. It's manifest in confession of sin. We see that in verse number 18, 19, and 21 of our text. He said there look at verse 21, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. I've sinned. Confession. And by the way, you don't confess to me. I'm no Catholic priest. And by the way, you shouldn't confess to him either. You confess to God. Amen. It's manifest in confession of sin. Sometimes you have to go to the person you've sinned against. Tell them. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I did it. I meant it. And I'm sorry. But it's also manifest in contrition. And that is a sorriness for sin. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this is where we have a very, very slippery slope of an easy believism gospel. Now listen, I don't believe you have to manifest yourself in tears to be saved. I don't believe that. that's the case, I'm not saved. I didn't have a tear the day I got saved. I said, it sounds like a good deal to me. I trust Christ as my Savior. It's believing. But I want to tell you, when you sin, when you that are saved, when you sin and you walk away from God, you ought to feel bad about it. Amen. You ought to feel bad about it. See, if you don't, it may be that the Holy Ghost doesn't live in you. Because you know what the Bible says? That when we sin, the Holy Spirit grieves. And ought to move us to contrition, that idea of sorrow. Repentance manifests itself in confession, contrition, but also conduct. You see, true repentance will change you. See, you get off the road of selfishness. You're heading down the road of selfishness, and you repent, and you get on the road of recovery. There'll be some obvious changes in your life. Amen. Some of you have been on that road of selfishness. You decided to get off, and the people around you are amazed at the changes in your life. You know, I look back in my life and the different times and areas in my life where I've been on that road of ruin and selfishness and decided, you know what, I will arise and I'll go to my Father and Father, I've sinned and I've messed up. Would you please help me and change me? And He does. He does. Reflection. Resolution. Repentance. Verse number 20, look at this. And He arose. And what I see there, I see return. Return. He arose and came to His Father. But when He was a great way off. Don't you just love verse 20? I tell you, if you've been reading your Bible at all for any length of time, I love verse 20. When He was a great way off, His Father saw Him. Did you ever think, it's a sidebar, but did you ever think how He was a great way off? I don't know about you. I mean, I got these glasses on. My vision's pretty good. But a great way off, I still, Brother Lawley, I look and kind of squint a little bit, you know, maybe. Well, boy, His Father recognized Him right away, Brother Holy. He knew who He was. And the Bible says there in verse 20, He was yet a great way off. His Father saw Him and had compassion and ran and fell on His neck. He gave Him the biggest bear hug He'd had in ages and fell on His neck and wept and kissed Him. Whew. Return. The road to recovery, you take the side road of reflection. You take another side road of resolution. You take another side road of repentance. Now you're on the road of return. He went from the far country from God back to the Father. And you know what He found out? True liberty was in the Father's house. See, we don't like that. See, even in Christianity, this attitude of the world bleeds in. I get to do, and I can do whatever I want to do. But you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. But true liberty was in the Father's house, whereas bondage was off in the far country, where He thought He was going to find Himself. No, He realized the whole time, Father's house was the place I should have stayed. Can I say, young people, about return, and we are thankful for those that return from the far country, but you know what, a whole lot of young people never return from the far country. They just stay there. You don't have to stay there. But can I say this? When you come back, you're never quite the same. Amen? Those of you that have been in the far country, let me hear an amen. You're never quite the same as you were when you left. They've said that often, and I know many of you have fought. I know Brother Travis has fought for our country over in Iraq. And listen, they say you leave part of you over on that battlefield. Can I say this? You leave part of you in the far country. It's an innocence that doesn't get to come back. Thank God you get to come home. Thank God you get to return. Thank God you get to come to Father's house. But it'd be better if you just decided not to go into the far country. Amen? The road of reflection. The road of resolution. The road of repentance. The road of return. And then lastly today, number five, the road of restoration. I love this. Verse 22. Remember what he said. The Bible doesn't say he bowed down, but I have to think he at least had bowed head. He said, Father, I've sinned in heaven and in your sight. And listen, I know I'm not even worthy to be called your son anymore, but I know how good you treat your servants. And I'd just be blessed if you just let me be a servant. And the Father said, no, sir. No, sir. You're my son. How many times, ladies and gentlemen, I'll just speak for myself. How many times have we let God down in our lives? Maybe we had a thought and we thought, where on earth could a saved person ever think a thought like that? Could a saved person ever do something like that? And we come to God in true repentance and we say, God, I'm sorry. Oh, God. You're right. I'm wrong. I'm so sinful. I'm so wicked. And you know what? I don't even deserve one bit of your blessings. And if you never give me another thing, God, I'll understand. And God says, no, sir. You're my son. You're my daughter. You come to me in true repentance. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when a Christian sins, they don't stop being a Christian. They break fellowship with God. God wants us to come back and restore and repent. Yes, yes, yes. But listen, you're in the family, you're in the family. I don't know how many times I've been in with Brother Jones and Brother Heath, and I've used that exact expression. Because, see, those fellows in prisons, they don't believe that they can be saved. And we try to tell them, hey, listen, if you're in the family, you're in the family. Now listen, my boys have my blood running through their veins. They're my boys. Nothing can ever change that. They're mine. Listen, if you're saved, you're God's. And we see restoration here. Verse 22. But the Father said to His servants, bring forth the best robe. See, that's my son. Bring the best robe. Whew. And then put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Somebody said the only one that really lost in the story of the prodigal son was the fatted calf. Amen. He was lamb chops that night. Amen. And kill it and let us eat and be merry. Why? For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this young man, he had messed up his life, but he still belonged to the Father. Not a hireling, not a servant, but a son. You see, if you're saved, the truth is, you can wreck your life. You can go off into the far country. But if you will come and you'll get on that road of reflection and you'll say, what am I doing? And you'll get on that road of resolution and say, I need to turn around. You'll get on that road of repentance and say, I've sinned. Then you can get on that road of return. And He arose and that road of restoration where God will have you right back at the family table. Isn't that our God just awesome? Isn't He wonderful? I'll tell you, I think of the times that I have let God down so many times and I thought, God, go ahead and kick me to the curb. I deserve it. No, our God doesn't operate that way. All because of Jesus. You see, when you ask Christ to be your Savior, you claim His blood to pardon you from your sins. God doesn't see your sins anymore. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ and His righteousness. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But can I say this to you, friend? If you're on the road to ruin and you do not know Christ as your Savior, you're not at peace with God. You're at war with God. You say, I'm not at war with God. I'm in church today. Doesn't that count? No, you need Christ as your Savior. You need to have your sins forgiven. You need to have a relationship with Him. See, heaven is not about religion, it's about relationship. You're either His or you're not. You see, the reason why He could look at this son and recognize him right away and be willing to forgive him as he came to him was because he was a son, Brother Shannon. He was a son. See, you're either a son of God or you're not. I thought we were all the children of God, Pastor. No, no, no. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, John 1:12 says. So here's my question today. Are you a son of God or not? Are you a daughter of God or not? If you're a Christian here today, are you on that road to ruin of selfishness? Hey, listen. The best of men are men at best. I've known people, I was shocked they were on the road to ruin of selfishness. People in the ministry, Brother Heath, they said, man, I'm just as selfish as could be. So we need to get that taken care of. You know who you get it taken care of with? God. You got a selfishness problem? Oh, not me. You say, oh, not me. Maybe it's a pride problem. I don't know. Listen, get it taken care of. Our God is abundantly ready to pardon, forgive, and pull out the chair for us at the table. The road to recovery. Father, we love You and thank You for Your goodness to us.